Welcome, listeners, to KPTZ's coverage of the 2016 Port Townsend Film Festival. This is your friendly neighborhood interviewer, Marcia Pearlstein. What follows are a series of interviews to whet your appetite for the festival on September 23rd to 25th, this very year, 2016. The full program is on the festival website, www.ptfilmfest.com. It will also be an insert in the leader or can be picked up very soon at the Rose Theater as well as the festival office on Taylor Street. Featuring 98 films of extensive range of fiction and documentaries, our outdoor evenings, live interviews with actors, producers, and directors, as well as some new and special editions, which you can unfold for yourself by going to the website. Filmgoers may treat themselves to an extensive range of activities. There's definitely something for everyone. Special thanks to our indefatigable and intrepid executive director, Jeanette Force, master programmer, Jane Julian, and all-around central organizer, Victoria O'Donnell. Here come the interviews. 91.9 FM, KPTZ, Port Townsend, and this is another interview in our series of film festival interviews for the 2016 season, and we have Rory and Heidi Fee. Rory is both the director and the writer of the film Josephine. Heidi is many things to the film, which you will be telling us soon. This has a very interesting background. Well, first of all, they're a father and daughter team. Heidi is Rory's daughter. This started off as a song. Would you tell the listener a little bit about that, Rory, how that all came together for you?
Sure. I wrote a song called Josephine in about the year 2000, and it was based on some letters that I read from a Civil War soldier who was writing to his wife. He wrote the letters in 1863 and was missing his wife and children, and I read about 10 of those letters, and it inspired me, and that became a song. And then later on, a music video that my wife and I recorded and filmed a music video. A few years after that, I was able to read some letters from the wife. Her name was Josephine, writing home to her husband, John. And that sort of became the basis of the film, Josephine, which is what we're bringing to the film festival there.
And it turns out that she, Josephine, became Joseph. She dressed up to, it's a true love story, to find her, during the Civil War, to find her husband. And so she joined the army as a man. And the film is pretty exciting, all the various ways she almost gets discovered. But it also, from my point of view, it has almost a Shakespearean feel to it. The romance and the drama. And as we know, a lot of Willie's characters were women dressed as men. And I understand that over 1,000 women disguised themselves for various different reasons during the Civil War. And that's a war that claimed the lives of more than 625,000 men, and among them, some women. Tell the story of how Josephine's letters got discovered.
Well, the letters that Josephine wrote to John actually came through a historian who had watched the music video, Josephine, that my wife and I had made. And he had sent me an email and told me that he had letters. He had read letters that the wife had written to the husband, and he sent me some excerpts from the letters. And so that's how we started writing the movie Josephine. Josephine, the film, is not a true love story. It is truly a love story, but it's not necessarily their story specifically. It's just inspired by some letters and also many, many other lives, women who've actually done this. So we use some of the lines from Josephine's letters in the film. As you mentioned, that actually did happen many, many, many times during the Civil War for different reasons. Women dressed as men and fought. It's pretty incredible. Those stories really haven't been told yet, and this is our version of one of them.
It is true you used it as a springboard, you know, for the larger thing and fictionalized things based on truth. This man that gave you the letters must have found you through your song. Is that true?
That's true. He saw the music video someone had shared with him at a like a reenactment event that he was speaking at somewhere. And he saw the video and found our email on our website and sent us an email and shared some of those letters with me. And he had actually written a number of books and included some of the letters in his books. And so I got online, bought his book, and read some of those things. And it was pretty amazing to all of a sudden be interested not just in the husband's story of missing and writing home to his wife, but also the wife's story and how this one unfolded, which is her missing her husband and trying to find him and going through so much to reunite with him.
The other piece of it is that you were originally a musician and a songwriter. Now you've sort of moved into film. Has that whet your appetite for further films, for making more films?
Yes, it has. I'm just a storyteller, and I've been telling stories through songwriting for about 20 years that I've been here in Nashville, and then working on the Josephine script and film, and then some further scripts after that for the last couple of years has been inspiring and has made me want to do more long-form storytelling. And so we are right now about to release a documentary that's, again, another film, but it's a true story that all about my wife and our life over the last couple of years. So another thing where it's storytelling. This one is just using footage from our lives. So I'm very much interested in doing more if God opens the door and that opportunity comes around.
I know it will, because you're out there listening. You have your ear and your heart on the pulse of good stories. So I look forward to more films from you. Thank you for giving us some time, Rory. And now I'll talk to Heidi.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Rory. This is 91.9 FM KPTZ, and now we're talking to Heidi Fee about the film Josephine. So tell us, Heidi, first of all, some of the things you've done for the film and how it felt working with your dad. Is this the first project you've collaborated on, or how did you find yourself becoming a filmmaker?
Well, I'm a musician as well, and so I've been playing music, obviously inspired by my father, since I was very young. And we've been playing for a long time. He and my mother were a duo, and they sang together, and then I sang backup for them and toured with them and played music on my own as well. So I've been collaborating with him for a long time. We've written many songs together and worked together on a lot of things. And so when he and Aaron, who's actually his cousin, I guess that makes him my second cousin or something, when they wrote the film and wanted to go film it, they needed some help just kind of getting organized, and we were there. We filmed it in Virginia. We were there a good month and a half, 2 months beforehand, just kind of getting ready and finishing up the script. And I was just available to them for whatever they needed help with. And then once we were going through the editing process, I did the music supervision for the film, which was a lot of fun. And it's easy because I already am used to working with Dad and then working with Aaron. So it was actually really nice and really natural for us all just to work together. And we're very all hands on deck. We have like five or six people that make up degree films, basically, that have been there since before we actually made films. And so we're very, everybody knows we all do everything. We've got a guy that works with us named Daniel Grace, and he's been editing all of it, and he's never done it either. So we're all kind of just doing it all and really enjoying it. It's been a really special experience. And even with the documentary that we're working on now, we're all still the same group of people, still doing the same thing, just in a different way. And it's a lot of fun.
You know, it seems to me more common for families to work together in the South than anywhere else in the country. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know why that is. I think probably part of it is just that we're all kind of raised in a way that's like, you have to do stuff with your family anyway from the time we're really young. I don't know if other parts of the country they do that or not, but we're all just so used to being together all the time, kind of being all up in each other's business. We all are kind of used to that already, so working together just feels kind of natural.
Do you have different aspirations from your father, different projects that you want to spearhead in your life?
Definitely have my own goals and dreams. I guess the idea for children is to take what your parents gave you and move forward and do as much or more than you think you can do. And so that's definitely my goal. Dad's a storyteller for sure, and I love that. And I have different, like, even our music is very different. He plays country music and I play like pop music mixed with some old-timey things. So what we do is kind of based in the same thing. I kind of do it a little bit differently, and I imagine film will be the same way. We're also writing screenplays, so we're writing a lot together, and it's fun to see. I write with Dad and Aaron, and it's fun to see. We all definitely have our own distinct voice. When we're writing, I can tell if Dad wrote the new page and a half, or if Aaron wrote the new page and a half, or if I did. I can definitely tell the difference between the three of us, which is pretty cool. I like that we all definitely have a very distinct voice, and we're all coming from different places and different stages in our lives. And it's such a neat thing to be able to work with other people. I think if I was just writing a film, having never done it before on my own, it would feel a little bit overwhelming, just because I'm used to writing a 3.5 minute song. So to be writing a film that's an hour and a half or more is a little daunting. But when you're doing it with other people that you love, it's just a good time and it's just fun. And I don't think any of us take ourselves seriously or think that we know anything more than anybody else. So we spend a lot of time, you know, even when we were filming Josephine, we spent a lot of our time just with the people that were working with us, just saying, we don't exactly know how we're supposed to do it, but this seems like the best way. Do you agree?
It sounds well. It certainly turned out well for you. It's a very moving and just a terrific film. It's multi-layered and exciting, and there's tension that's almost unbearable in a good way. You're really doing something. What resonates for you most about the film?
I love the I kind of give Aaron and Dad a hard time because they kind of give me a hard time because I'm a little bit of a feminist. And I see that as a really good thing. I always give them a hard time because they wrote basically a feminist film in my eyes. And I really like that it's coming from a woman's perspective, doing something that generally is seen as a man's job to dress up and go to war and go to battle. And she ends up finding herself in this process and finding out what being a woman means and what being a partner means. And I love that. That's probably my favorite part. It's just a very meaningful story, and all the characters. I feel like I know them. Probably everyone who writes a script or a book feels like they know their characters. Well, and I didn't even write it, but I just feel like I have such a close connection with all of them.
I can understand that. And of course, but as women, we have closer connections, I think, with Josephine. And she is so spunky and courageous. She is a really spunky, courageous person. So it's a testimony to the men in your life that they know how to write a spunky woman.
Yeah, they're surrounded by pretty sassy women, so...
There you go.
I would think they could get that right.
Well, Heidi Feek, thank you. Thank you for talking with us. Thank you for bringing Rory into the picture. We look forward to many, many people getting to see your film around the country and certainly here in Port Townsend at the end of September. Once again.
We are so thankful that Port Townsend is wanting to have our film be part of their festival. It's so amazing and such an honor. We're so thankful.
I can predict there will be lines around the block. People are going to want to see this film.
Oh, I hope so.
Thank you again, Heidi. You've been listening to 91.9 FM KPTZ, our film festival interviews. Bye, Heidi.
Bye.
I know what it is to pretend to be something you're not.
John!
You're listening to 91.9 FM KPTZ Port Townsend, and this is another one of our interviews for the 2016 Port Townsend Film Festival. I'm interviewing Charlene Fisk, co-director and producer, and Carrie Schrader, co-director and writer of the Founders film. Welcome, Charlene and Carrie.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
I adored your film. It should be in every elementary school because young women, young girls should get an early start at knowing they can do anything they set their minds to, because no film demonstrates it better than this one. So thank you for bringing it into our lives. What got you both interested in women's golf? Do you both play?
I actually play kind of scratch golfer. I'm not fantastic, but I absolutely love the sport. And Carrie, do you play?
I'm the worst golfer. I don't play at all, actually. I've only played one or two times. And Actually, when Charlie first talked to me about this film, I was like, I know nothing about golf. I don't know what I could offer. And she just kept saying, you have to look at this footage. It's amazing. You have to know the story of these women. And at first I was like, I don't know how, what kind of story we're going to be able to tell. And then I saw this amazing footage and learned about these women, did what they did. And I was just so moved by it. You know, I kind of pride myself on knowing who my female icons are in history. And I had never heard about what these women did and what pioneers they were, not for golf, but for all women's sports and for women in general.
I agree. And as a matter of fact, it's a non-strident feminist film because these women are regular and they're not dramatic about what they're doing. They just believe in what they're doing. And first of all, there's four left that are in the film, and let the listener know that they represent many, many others, and you got a lot of the back footage from the olden days, and I loved how you put the two together. What got you interested initially in putting this story on film?
I had done a project for PBS for American Masters, and when I finished that project, I was looking for a passion project, something that I could kind of dig my teeth into and that had a legacy piece to it. And I kind of just asked all my friends and family. A friend of mine that I played golf with, he said, hey, did you know there were these 13 women who started the LPGA, and one of them just passed away. I don't think there's that many of them left, and it's a really cool story. If you've seen A League of Their Own, this is like, you know, they made it happen. That was kind of the beginning. And then I started looking into it and researching it, and I made a couple phone calls. And that's when I ended up talking, getting on the phone with Louise Suggs and Marilyn Smith and Shirley Spork, a few of the remaining founders. And after speaking to them, I'm sure after you've seen the film, their personalities and they're just incredible people. So after speaking with them, I just knew it was a project that I had to take on.
Maybe one of you can do a quick summary of the film for the listener that hasn't yet viewed it and had the opportunity to be as excited as I am. Would one of you like to summarize the story?
Sure. I'll summarize it really quick. It's the story about the 13 women who founded the LPGA, and it's just a redemptive, triumphant story. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry about women who set out to do something that they were told couldn't be done and who paved the way for all of us. That was my stab, Charlie. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a story of a group of women making a place for themselves. In 1950, when, you know, they were supposed to be in the house cleaning and taking care of children, they wanted something more than that for their lives. And so they set out and kind of pulled together, you know, a ladies' professional golf association that really had to kind of scratch and crawl and put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into making a place for themselves outside of the house. It's a story of feminism. It's a story about the human spirit and overcoming the odds.
They even had to use their own money to get into various tournaments, and they literally had to make places for themselves. Nobody was doing it for them. They did it with each other. What I also liked a lot about the film was that you showed some of the difficulties and the challenges, but the proportion of the successes and the inspiration and the excitement was far greater. But you told a true story. You told difficulties among themselves, ways in which they came to appreciate each other, ways in which some of them had different difficulties, one who was not able to be an out lesbian at the time. I mean, because this was years and years ago that it all got started. The way in which later on a black woman in the tournament had her own issues. And I think it was really wonderful how you brought the four founders together with younger girls, and those girls know what they have in these women and allow themselves to be mentored and inspired. So it was what I call a full circle experience. You had these women scratching for a place at the very beginning, and at the very end, you had young women knowing they don't have to scratch as hard anymore because these women were there. And also, there's still issues in terms of pay differentials. So it really shows the issues that women still have. It shows a feminist journey without being a clobbering feminist journey. That, you know, some were married, some decided they didn't want to marry. They were more married to golf. So you had a full range. And I think it was really tasteful the way you presented the challenges.
I mean, you're hired. So can we just Can you just ask who we talked to? Because that was a great description.
And the film is. Are you going to be in town for the festival?
So my family's from Seattle, and I actually have roots in Port Townsend and Aberdeen and around there. But I was just there for a whole month with my daughter visiting family. So I can't make it back, and we have other festivals that we have to do and other commitments here. But we would love to be able to go. Port Townsend is such an amazingly sweet, sweet, sweet town. And I just love the people there, and I love this festival. So we regret not being able to come, but we hope it goes really well.
We're hoping
we'll be able to come next time, for sure.
And both your presences will be strongly felt through the film.
Good.
Truly. Let me ask you, has it gone into schools? Is it being sent all over the country as well it should?
It is in the process of doing distribution, so slowly but surely, eventually, there'll be a distribution plan, and ideally it'll be in golf clubs and schoolhouses and theaters and everyone's homes eventually. So yeah, it'll take a little bit of time, but it will eventually get there, I'm sure.
What's next for you two? You're going to collaborate on another film?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Yeah, we have a production company called Mighty Fine Pictures.
Uh-huh.
And we're working on a couple of different series ideas. We're sort of looking for the next documentary idea. We have a couple ones, but you know, the struggle to get the right matches and funding and all that, so we're focusing on these series now, and I'm sure we'll do another documentary too as that presents itself. But yeah, we're excited to continue the collaboration. It was wonderful.
Did you each start off in filmmaking, or did you have other careers that you sort of meandered away from once you found your passion in film?
I've always wanted to be in film, and it's something I've always done from a young age. So I think with filmmaking, you either are in it or you're not. I mean, there are some people who, you know, change careers late in life and decide to take a stab at filmmaking, and on occasion there are successes, but filmmaking is really, like, it's a passion. You can't be in it for the money, because it's just not, you know, very few people hit it big making films. So yeah, I've been doing it for, you know, 20 years now, and I'll continue doing it the rest of my life.
Yeah, ditto that. I've taught here and there, started a film program here and there when I got out of grad school, but have been writing, making, or shooting movies and or plays. I started in the theater since I was a young kid.
Well, you're both so skilled, and you're, of course, skilled at finding a wonderful story, a story that really needs to be told. And, of course, I also thought of A League of Their Own. I bet you everybody says that to you, but this is even less known, the area that golf, that you're shining a light on. And I also think the message, of course, across other sports, we're going to be seeing more and more of these stories, basketball, women's basketball, all kinds of things. The other thing I noticed is how vitalized the four founders that are left that participate in activities, mentoring and everything, how that really keeps them going, and how they get as much as they give when they work with younger women and help inspire them. Was that your experience in being with them?
I mean, this is their life. This is their passion. This is like what they were meant to do with their lives. They do it every second they get a chance to. And it's about mentoring, and it's about passing the torch, and it's about all those things. They're incredible people to be around. I wish everyone in the world could find the kind of connection that they have to the game of golf.
Well, and also that kind of connection to knowing this is where they belong at this stage of their lives, that they're finally being acknowledged, and especially through this film, in ways through their hard scrapples struggle was very difficult to be. So they sure have earned the adulation that they're now receiving.
Absolutely.
We're getting ready to wind up and give you each an opportunity for some closing remarks. Is there anything our filmgoers here in Port Townsend might want to know in advance before seeing your fabulous film? And once again, it's called The Founders Film. And again, I am speaking with Carrie and Charlene. Charlene Fisk, co-director, producer. Carrie Schrader, co-director, writer. And what are your final words of wisdom to our town's film festival?
I would just say that if you are a golf fan and if you are not a golf fan. If, you know, I think this story has so much to offer for everyone, and that's something that I really wanted to get across. This is a film for golfers and non-golfers alike. It's just a great story about great people who did incredible things.
Yeah, I think if you say to yourself, I want to go and see a film that's going to inspire me and make me feel alive, that's this film for you.
Men as well as women, to really understand women's struggles and to support their daughters, daddies supporting their daughters. I mean, there's something for everyone in this film. And so once again, I want to thank you both for speaking with us. I look forward to seeing Lines Around the Block for your film at the festival.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Mike Schlexer, engineer and editor extraordinaire, Larry Stein, program director with an especially extensive repertoire of knowledge of film, and Norris Petrich, station manager. Go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can. This has been Marcia Pearlstein bringing you a special edition of Film Festival and KPTZ, getting together and getting the word out.
We just were a family.
People didn't take women as athletic women. They were either feminine or masculine.
Certainly nice to have you back, and what a charming outfit.
We had kind of an image to overcome.
The only reason that they could make a living was that they worked for equipment companies.
We had a swing parade. We each had a certain club we hit.
Here we are, a slice from left to right, putting the visor in slicing position.
We were promoting ourselves.
We wanted to get women's professional golf off the ground. They just had to sell it to the American public.
They didn't think women should be playing golf. This was the early days, remember? We had a lot to overcome, honey.